You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This is
Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast number 461. We are the Fight Disciples, and this is dedicated to the world of boxing. If it's the first time you've ever come across us, you can get us on iTunes. You know the script by now. Hit subscribe on iTunes, write a nice little five-star review. It helps with all our visibility in the iTunes charts. We will be forever grateful. If you need an Android feed, Spotify, Google Play, any of that nonsense, you can get it on our website, fightdisciples.com, of which you will also find our YouTube channel, our social media channels, and a link to the shop. So if you're a bit thirsty, need a few beers, because, you know, you're not doing dry January or whatever, you're more than welcome to come and buy some proper tackles. So go and get yourself stuck in. Fightdisciples.com is where all that information lies. Now, this week's show is being brought to you from a different location. We're going to make it plainly obvious that we are on Fight Island covering the UFC. We're not going to talk about it too much in this episode. That'll all be in the UFC episode, obviously. But I just wanted to flag it up just in case you hear, I don't know, people playing beach volleyball in the background of this podcast.
We haven't done a podcast together for a while.
No, I've not seen your face for time, mate. Isn't it? It's a bit weird being in physical presence of each other, isn't it? Other human beings exist other than the little minions that run around in my house.
Yeah.
That are still running around in my house. But we're out here. We're out in Abu Dhabi. And like I said, on the UFC show that we do, which is available now, episode 462, you'll be tucked behind the curtain, let's say. We'll give you all the ins and outs of what's going on Fight Island. Whilst we were in quarantine, actually, on Friday, we landed on Thursday, so whilst we were in quarantine on Friday, I'm scouring social media for a bit of boxing news. It all seemed a bit quiet because there wasn't any boxing shows going on, as we know. The good news at the start of last week was boxing will return to the UK mid-February, which then started the speculation, didn't it, about how will boxing come back. It's going to come back with an absolute bang. And the rumours at the particular time when we were doing bits on social media were that Josh Warrington will be finally back in action.
Yeah.
World title on the line in a big unification against the Chinese fighter Kan Zhu. That would be followed up by Avanesyan and Kelly. Mouth-watering. We'd already had the announcement, hadn't we, from Frank Warren. Maybe not publicly, but we definitely knew about it privately. Then on the 27th, Jermell Herring was coming to town for that big world title clash.
Yep.
Dillian White and Alexander Povetkin the week after. Oh, and I'd also had a personal conversation with Conor Benn, so I knew full well that the Sam Vargas fight was coming. I was just waiting for the date. Fantastic. All fantastic pieces of news. Friday, announcement day. We're all excited, aren't we, Nicky? We're all excited, aren't we, son?
It was trademark, Eddie, to have an announcement about the announcement. I loved it.
You've got to announce an announcement, mate. You've got to let them know.
Oh, yeah.
So on Friday, the big matchroom announcement, because earlier on in the week, obviously, Frank finally went public with the Frampton-Herring thing, which, by the way, is a sensational fight. And out of all the fights, we're going to get some BT bias here, right? People are going to get onto us at social media. They're going to go, oh, here they are now, bigging up the BT show. Out of all the fights, be honest with yourselves now as you're listening to this. Avanesyan Kelly, right? Cracker. That's a belter. And that's probably the one that you look, maybe you're looking forward to that the most. I don't know. I'm talking about matchups, 50-50 matchups. You don't know which way something's going to go. Herring Frampton's the best fight that's been announced, mate. Do you think?
It's a cracker. It's obviously, the fact that it's a world title fight probably lifts it above some of those domestic, because there's some domestic crackers on there as well. I like Metcalf versus Cheeseman as well.
Oh, Scouse. Stop it. Stop with Scouse bias. The best fight is Herring versus Frampton that's been there.
I don't know. I kind of like the Okolie fight as well. Okolie finally getting that world title fight. It's back on, isn't it? So
I'm not saying I don't like it.
I would disagree. I would say I'm as excited for Okolie. Yes, he hasn't achieved as much as Frampton. And yes, Frampton's vying to do something incredibly special in terms of Irish boxing. But, you know, I'm also thirsty for Okolie, this new version of Okolie under Shane McGuigan. The fight got put off last time. and I'm super excited for that. So I'm going to push back a little bit. I'm going to go that for me. They're kind of level.
All right, I'll talk
Dillian about. Dillian versus, you know, I still don't kind of understand why that fight's happening. You know, again, I'll just come back. I'll get another Scouse bias shout now. Teddy Harper versus Natasha Jonas was one of the best fights of 2020. Why are we still not getting that rematch? And yet, with all due respect, love Dillian to bits. Motherfucker got flatlined by Povetkin. Game over. There shouldn't be a rematch. But money talks. Mm. And if Eddie's got a narrative he wants to play out, i.e. forcing Dillian forward to finally get him a title shot, maybe to push him in with Wilder, whatever it may be, then don't let something like a fucking sensational knockout of the year uppercut get in the way of Eddie's best laid plans. But Tasha Jonas has a worldie with Teddy Harper, which was a flip of a coin fight. Mm. And we don't get to see the rematch because of some issue he's got with Joe Gallagher. That's, listen, hey-ho.
I'll let Frank know about your attitude towards Herring Frampton, yeah, so you don't want to work on that one.
I love it.
No, you just said that.
I love it.
No, you want to work on a Coley instead, that's what you said.
I just don't think it's 10 levels above, I think.
Nobody said that.
For me, Frampton, Coley, they're the big announcements.
This is another thing, right, that you keep doing with me, right? You keep hearing what I'm saying and then pumping it up, filling it full of PEDs. It's like the I'm just going to quickly refer to something in the UFC, right? We had a conversation privately in a bar with a friend of ours.
We did it on the podcast.
Did we?
Yeah.
And you pumped it up saying that, what were we up to now that Michael Chandler won't beat anybody in the top 20? Never said the top 20.
You went top 15
well,
in the bar last night.
No, I didn't.
You were big talking, Billy Big
anyway,
Talk.
Anyway, right? Listen to what I'm saying and stop sticking steroids on me, all right? Yeah. Because people keep coming back and getting me for it. We'll do all the positive stuff in a minute because there's a lot
there's
of positives.
Loads. As I say, I'm going to go through all them cards because there's a shitload of good fights.
Yes.
Domestic fights.
Yes.
Opportunity fights, breakthrough fights. I've got issues with two or three. Again, the Dillian thing, I've got a bit of an issue with it, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
My biggest
We've got to start with the first fight,
yeah.
The first return to boxing.
Yeah.
The fight that we should have, and I would have argued with you, this was above Frampton. The unification fight for the featherweight champion that's long overdue, that no one's been able to deliver, that he left Frank for and went back to Eddie for. Josh Warrington finally gets to prove he's the best featherweight on the planet by unifying two of the belts.
Yeah.
That was the fight I was most to go, fucking get in, Josh, let's go.
Yeah. I would rather him not be fighting.
Me too.
Than fight Maurizio Lara. It is awful.
Mate, I haven't liked that kid since he played fucking cricket for the West Indies. It's the same guy, right?
Yeah. I'd actually prefer him to fight Brian Lara. Mate, it's a poor, poor fight. And I would much rather world champions at the standard of Josh Warrington not fight that because it's bullshit. Lara's not in the IBF rankings. He was shoehorned in there in order to make this fight. He's been shoehorned in there number 10. Previous to the announcement that you heard last week, he wasn't in those rankings.
Well,
I don't think he's made feather since 2017.
No, and I know at this point, you know, I haven't seen the IBF sign it off yet. So I don't even know whether it's a world title fight.
No, I don't think it is. I've not seen it for a world title. I think it's a non-title fight.
A 12-round non-title fight.
Which is nonsense.
So, which is nonsense because, listen, I tweeted straight away at the time. I can name 5 British, Irish fighters that I would rather see challenge Josh Warrington. And just say to Josh, listen, the Kanju thing's impossible because of the lockdown situation, China, the flights, whatever it may be.
Is it though?
That is fully understandable if that's the case. If that isn't the case, someone ain't doing the job.
Yeah.
If that is the case, okay, I get it, man. But Josh Warrington was on the shelf for the entire of 2020.
Correct.
Josh Warrington needs a fight, not a fucking ex-cricketer, a fight. He needs a proper fight. And listen, Lee Wood's on this card. Lee Wood had to give him a fight.
Jazza would give him a fight.
Jazza Dickens, who beat Lee Wood in the MTK tournament. Mate, Jazza Dickens has just won the golden contract with MTK. I haven't seen him unveiled by Matchroom or Frank or Top Rank. What is the golden contract?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it an actual contract or is it just words? Like, I don't even know what that means now. I thought it was supposed to be, you've signed with a big promoter, you're going to get a big fight. Doesn't get any bigger than Josh Warrington. And I guarantee Jazza Dickens would have took that fight. Michael Conlon, was it even offered to Michael Conlon? Because Michael Conlon, I would hazard a guess, would have fancied it at least, or certainly like to have been part of the conversation. So
I mean, listen, very the elephant strange, in the room is Kid Galahad.
He could have done the rematch with Galahad.
Yeah, listen, it was an awful fight first time round, but it's there. I mean, he's got himself into a good situation.
But
again,
it's a proper fight. Like, you're telling me Josh, who's trained throughout 2020, is going to be happy fighting Lara?
No.
Whether it's a defence or not a defence.
No.
You can give a fuck. Mate, come on. The odds on that fight are going to be absolutely ridiculous. The motivation to do a number on Lara, it's a no-win fight.
Yeah.
If he doesn't smash him to bits inside six rounds, it's a poor performance. Mm. And I get it. Listen, we're living in impossible times and fights are impossible to make. But okay, pluck out Ajaz or Dickens or one of the other guys and go, we're living in impossible times, ladies and gentlemen, so we're going to give this guy a shot because he's earned it. He had a great 2020. He's done this. He's done that. Let's do the rematch, whatever it may be. But to pull Lara out and make everyone scramble for BoxRec to know who the fuck this guy is, just shitty on Josh.
Well, let's discuss how we end up landing here, right? Because we were told, Can's use it, near enough done. It's 95%. It's done.
Yeah.
He's in. Thumbs are up. Everybody's giddy. There was a few sticking points. First of all, we go to the WBA, right? And this is bullshit within itself. How you can still have Leo Santa Cruz as your WBA super champion at this weight when he's not fought there for 2 years. He's gone up in weight, won and lost in that period of time at the weight above.
Yeah.
And for him to still hold that belt is shit. It is shit, right? But we know it's shit. We know the politics. We know the way that the WBA work. So that was never, ever going to change. They're just being a set of greedy bastards thinking to themselves, well, if Leo does come back, we're going to make some good coin there from the Mexican crowd. We can keep... obviously, Kanju is our regular champion. We'll make some good coin there. I've no doubt they've got an interim champion knocking about as well. So one of the sticking points was Kanju wanted the super belt to be on the line for this fight. Okay, fair enough, mate. But that's look at the other pluses that were there for you. Josh is a legitimate IBF champion.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a legit belt. It's not a regular belt like you've got, Kanju. Mm-hmm. It's a legit belt. And I'm told that the Ring magazine was also going to be on the line. So... they've got Gary Russell Jr., haven't they, at two, but he's thinking to himself, what weight class am I going to be fighting at?
Welterweight,
anyway. So you've got Warrington at one, Kanju at three, and they were willing to put the Ring magazine belt on there. And Kanju still said no to this. Then you heard rumours like, well, he wanted to do it in front of a crowd and all this type of stuff. Well, I'm sorry, mate. That's not happening anytime soon.
Yeah, exactly.
You've lived in a fucking dream world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's from Kanju's point of view, I think that's piss poor. For those things to be on the line and for him not to take it, piss poor. Now, we don't know about travel restrictions, quarantining, and all those types of things. We know that fighters are going to the ends of the earth sometimes to make fights. I mean, we'll talk about Dan Hooker at great length on our UFC podcast. Yeah. Lad's doing 6 weeks of fucking isolation to make
post
this fight. Post-fight to make this happen. Yeah. It's crazy. Maybe Kanju didn't want to do that. And that's justifiable. We're living in a crazy time. Fair play to him. But are you telling me that if he was getting paid a good chunk of money, proper money, that he wouldn't take the fight? Then you've got to start asking questions about, was he offered proper money to take the fight?
Yep.
Like you said, someone somewhere has not done the job right for us to end up with Warrington Lara. Josh Warrington doesn't want that fucking fight.
Does he? Fuck. Absolute waste of time. And unfortunately, that's become the narrative of Josh Warrington's career, isn't it? It's starting to feel like a waste of time.
The last 18 months have.
Mate, ever since the Frampton fight. What? No, all that momentum he got by beating Selby, the big night at Ellen Road. Then he rolled straight into Frampton, and we were ringside for that fight. That was amazing. And it felt like, holy shit, this guy's a player. And listen, it hasn't helped that everybody else at featherweight just seemingly fucking pissed off. You know, the only person left who's still a featherweight, supposedly, is Gary Russell Jr., who, as we know, fights once a year if you're lucky. So you were never going to get him, but all the other big names just disappeared.
Yeah.
Like, literally disappeared. And as soon as Josh went through Frampton, they were gone. They were all moving up to super featherweight. But then you thought, okay, well, this is Josh's opportunity to start snatching belts. And we were talking about the Kanju fight then.
Mm-hmm.
18 months on, two fights. Now a third fight coming up. And, you know, the Galahad fight was an absolute stinker, but that was the...
That was a mandatory, though.
Do your mandatory, domestic mandatory, fine, good, get it out the way. Let's move forward.
Yeah.
Then you bring in fucking Kikuchi.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's Lara. It's like, man, you know.
I think this is his first one under Eddie as well, isn't it? Because he didn't fight all last year. I think he only signed like February last year with Matchroom. We went back there. Yeah. Listen, it's massively disappointing. And it did actually steal a bit of the headlines of good fights that were made
from
that Matchroom announcement on the Friday. But it is. It's incredibly disappointing for Josh Warrington. He's one of our favourite fighters. That's maybe why we're a little bit OTT and passionate about it. I don't know. And I'm sure there's a lot of fans that feel the exact same way. Nobody wants to see Josh Warrington fighting an ex-cricketer, as you just said.
Yeah.
They want to see him in with the best fights. And hopefully, he gets in, he doesn't take his eye off the ball, he smashes this dude fast,
yeah.
Gets on the mic, he said, right, no more pissing about now, come on, let's get it on. Russell, I'll come to you, whatever, let's just make that happen.
He said that before, though, with all due respect. How many times have we heard Josh go, I will go to Mexico, I'll go to New York, we want to go to Vegas.
Yeah.
Fucking Ellen Road faithful are hungry for a Vegas trip. They're absolutely desperate to get on flights to Vegas. Obviously, the world's different right now. It's hard to do that. Mm. But Josh Warrington, this Shakir Stevenson, I'll fucking go to New Jersey. I'll go to New York.
Yeah.
And nobody seemingly wants the Josh Warrington fight. It's up to his promoter, Eddie, to put his hand in his pocket and to make the fights happen. Because he's the A-side in this division in terms of... He's the one, with Shakir Stevenson gone, with the rest of them gone, Santa Cruz gone, all them... He's the guy that you go, well, he's the legit best guy in the division. Gary Russell, you can't include Gary Russell Jr. He just turns up whenever he likes. But anyway, listen, there's some good fights on that card as well. Zelfa Barrett against Kiko Martinez is a great fight for Zelfa. Lee Wood against Reese Mould for the British title. And then Dalton Smith stepping up against Lee Appleyard. And
that's the best fight in the card.
Lee Appleyard, is his record doesn't do him justice.
No.
He can fight that kid, yeah. And that's a massive step up for Dalton
Smith. I think that's the best fight on the card.
Yeah, it's a good step up.
I've picked out, of all the announcements, I've picked out some fights tonight.
Yeah.
Here's my favourite ones that Eddie and the Matchroom gang have made. Obviously, Avanesi and Kelly. We're all thirsty for that. So that one's on the second fight card, isn't it, on the 20th. I'm a big fan of the Marku-Charlton fight. That's just going to be fucking ludicrous.
Is that on the 20th as well?
Yeah, I think it's on the other card of that. You've got White Povetkin too. I'm interested in it. It's heavyweights, man. Fucking come on. And we like Dillian. He's a good lad. Akoli Glowacki, of course. Billum Smith against Juma. Big fan of that fight. Cheeseman JJ, as you mentioned before. And Ben Vargas. They're my favourite fights that have been made. I think they're all proper competitive fights where you can make arguments for both dudes in the fight to win it. Is there anything else that you've seen there that stands out? Because everything else is much of a muchness to me, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just having a little look through these cards now. Yeah, in terms of what announced, as I said, the Akoli one's the one that gets me most excited just because, you know, he was so close to getting that title fight and then it fell off last minute and
yeah.
Then he kind of, you know, what did he do? A couple of seconds in there, didn't he? But we didn't really get to see much of this development under Shane McGuigan. But, yeah, man. Listen, again, I think that only one of them's box office as well. The heavyweights, of course. I think the rest of it's all just on normal Sky Sports. So, listen, man. Again, we're in a weird time. Eddie's announced 4 or 5 fight cards there to really get us going. We'll come back to Frank's one. But I just think it's just frustrating as a Josh Warrington fan. That was it was like, I've got 5 great fights to announce, but let me just start by kicking you in balls. So then the rest of the fight announcements when you were made,
you're not listening to
I'm still
properly.
Rubbing my balls, trying to get the fucking life back into them. You know what I mean? I'm already on my knees, gagging, fighting back a gag reflex to try and fucking feel some life. And I can hear
you're
you saying...
You're on your knees gagging?
Yeah.
That's going to be a meme.
I can hear you saying... Akoli's world title fight. I can hear you saying JJ Cheeseman. I can hear this stuff going on. Ben, Connor Ben. I can hear it, but I'm still rubbing my balls on the floor, trying to get my breath back because of fucking Brian Lara.
I'm being told that they're looking for a destination in the Middle East for White Povetkin.
Oh, right, okay.
They'd have the fans being there.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
And we know that they're... The negotiations are currently going on in the Middle East, aren't they, for AJ and Fury?
Exactly. It sounds like what that will be a dry run for AJ Fury then, doesn't it? You know, you do White Povetkin in the Middle East for one reason. You do it as a dry run. How many fans can we safely get in?
Yeah.
How will it work? How will the flights work?
Yeah.
Do people need to have COVID passports? Blah, blah, blah. You do a dry run with Dillian White, Alexander Povetkin, and then obviously you can... You're moving nice and smooth then, aren't you, with the super fight later in the year?
Yeah.
Which is, we're led to believe, days away. Days away from being announced.
Is a little bit of information that I've been told whilst we've been out here. Because it is very different out in... I mean, we're experiencing Abu Dhabi. We've not experienced Dubai or anything like that, but Abu Dhabi, as I think we've told you on previous podcasts, that all residents here are tested weekly.
Yeah.
As we are. I think it's 3 tests per week at the moment whilst we're here for Fight Island. But I was told something yesterday that they're rolling out, obviously, vaccinations and the vaccine here in Abu Dhabi. And we know that they've got shitloads of cash. Mm-hmm. We know it. So therefore, they can do everything that we want quicker and more efficiently, as they're proven to do so. That's why we're now experiencing fans back in the arena for the Conor McGregor fight at the weekend. So I was told yesterday that by at least May, they will have rolled, everybody in Abu Dhabi will have had the vaccine.
Well,
that will be done. And therefore, then people coming in can only come in, obviously, with a clean COVID test from wherever they live in the world. And whilst they are here, they will have to go through the protocols like me and you were going through, 2 or 3 clean tests per day, wristbands and all that type of stuff. So all residents will just be free to walk around. Therefore, there won't be a need for any more bubbles, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
So by the middle of this year, 2021, in Abu Dhabi, there won't be any bubbles anymore. You'll be able to crack on.
But won't tourists be locked in hotel bubbles like we are?
No, because all residents will have been vaccinated. That's what I was told yesterday.
And all tourists will have up-to-date COVID tests.
And they will have to... So it will, in effect, be a bubble within itself, won't it? Because every person here will be vaccinated. You can't infect anybody here.
Right.
But you as a tourist will come in and you will be tested
regularly,
yeah.
Because if there was an outbreak, I guess the outbreak would only be amongst the tourists in your hotel anyway, because the residents are now vaccinated.
Well, because of this stringent testing, it shouldn't happen.
Of course. Wow. Interesting, man.
But that then obviously has ramifications for the fights that we're talking about now.
Yes.
For the fights that we're talking, I mean, maybe not necessarily Povetkin White, because that's obviously March, but most certainly for AJ Fury, because we're being told middle of the year.
Yeah.
Listen, I think every fight fan has kind of conceded that first one is not happening on British soil, and we will not be in attendance on British soil for that. It will happen somewhere in the Middle East, because that's where the dough is right now. And that's where it seems that they're getting their act together with the vaccinations. Unless you can get yourself into New Zealand, which is a very tough thing to do, as many people are finding out.
Well, yeah, fucking hell. That's 10 times harder, isn't it?
Mm.
But, you know, life in New Zealand's pretty much back to normal now. That's the difference.
That's because they've got the shit together, mate.
Be able to lock it down, yeah. I don't think we're going to be... So, as you say, the super fight comes out of the Middle East in the summer. I think you're probably looking at summer 2022 in the UK before we can expect to retain any kind of normality like that.
That's depressing, isn't it?
Yeah. I just don't think... Because there's a lot of people I know that don't want to be vaccinated. So then you're going to have the whole issue of, right, we've done the people on the front line, we've done everybody over the age of 65, we're now pushing it out to school teachers and all that, great. Now it'll become, right, okay, Mr. Cattrall, here's your letter, we've got round to you now, you know, fucking bomb, come and get your test. And I think there's going to be a lot of people who believe a lot of shit on the internet that are going to be like, I ain't getting tested, I'm not getting Bill Gates fucking controlling me through 5G. People believe this shit.
What?
People believe this shit. I'm telling you. And I think there'll be a large portion of, certainly the UK population, a demographic, that will go, I refuse to be tested. I will not be tested. My children won't be tested.
They'll have to sign a waiver then. They'll have to sign a waiver. That's on them.
So then you will get to the point of... But I think then you'll get to the point where the likes of Thomas Cook, EasyJet, Airbnb, taxis maybe. You know, you'll get people going, right, well, unless you've had the vaccine...
You're not getting in.
You don't get on the plane. Unless you get a vaccine, you can't rent this apartment. Unless you have the vaccine, you can't buy a train ticket to Manchester. You know what I mean? You can't go on trainline.com and buy a train ticket. You can't do this. You want to live that way? You're fucked, man. You've got to live in your own, taking your life in your own hands. You live in your own bubble kind of thing. I think that's where it's going to be. And that's where it'll blow up even more, because that's what the conspiracy theorists want. Now I'm being forced to have a test. You're pouring petrol on the fire, so... I think this thing's going to get even more fucking bonkers over the next 12 months, unfortunately.
Which, listen, I know we went off on one there for a second, but it does have ramifications of us wanting to attend fights. I'm sure you listening to this, you want to get back in there, man. You want to go and watch some fights. You want to be ringside again. You want to have a beer with your mates and chat shit in the pub about stuff, you know?
Well, fighters want to fight as well. Careers are on fucking hold.
Fucking right.
You know, not everybody is, you know, young Hurricane Hatton, who, of course, just turned pro. We're all super excited to see him fight. He's on that potential card in the Middle East.
That, is that his nickname, by the way?
Hurricane.
That's a belter.
Campbell Hurricane Hatton.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, man, I love it. Class. But we're all super excited for him. But, you know, Young Campbell is in a fortuitous position now. His dad is who his dad is. So he is going to be a name and he is going to get opportunities. But for every Campbell Hatton, there's, you know, 750
Joe Bloggs, yeah.
Journeymen who were trying to make a living in boxing, that not necessarily with any aspirations to become a champion, that use boxing to put food on the table. Maybe they're immigrants from other countries. You know, there's a lot of Eastern European fighters based in the UK that are journeyman jobbers up and down the country every week. None of them are working at the moment.
Yeah.
And none of them are getting support from the government either. And this was the big issue with boxing, not getting any financial support whatsoever off the government. And yet rugby union gets hundreds of millions of pounds off this Tory twats, purely and simply because of the fact that boxing is still looked down upon. Yet there's people out there who've got no way to support their families and no way to get support from the government because boxing's just been fucking tossed to the side. Or you hear the old adage, well, Eddie Hearn should pay. Why the fuck should Eddie Hearn pay? This reminds me of when, you know, when COVID first kicked off and they were like, the footballers should all pay. Why should the footballers pay? There's fucking multi-millionaires who live in London who own all kinds of property. Why shouldn't they pay? Why shouldn't, you know? Anyway, don't get me on politics. I'm not interested.
Yeah, you are. So yeah, lots of good positives to come out of the Matchroom stuff. There's that massive one negative, obviously, if you're a big Josh Warrington fan like we are. That's why maybe why we've gone a little bit OTT on it. But it is what it is, man. We want to see him in the biggest fights. He deserves the biggest fights because we believe he is the best featherweight. We want him to go out there and prove it. And hopefully, after this, we'll get one. I know we keep saying it, after this. But hopefully after this one, we will get him. Frank's card, Feb 27th. What an absolute belter. Two top blokes, two absolute mint guys going at it for the WBO championship. It's a weird one, this a little bit, because I don't think Bob Arum... there's a bit of a conflict of interest because Bob Arum obviously represents Shakur Stevenson as well.
Yeah.
Shakur Stevenson is supposed to be next in line for the Jermell Herring fight. But if you remember, what was it, 12 months ago, 18 months ago, whenever Carl obviously teamed up with these guys again, MTK and obviously Bob Arum, he was promised a fight. And Jermell Herring, being the type of dude that he is, man of his word, has said, listen, we've promised him the fight. He's having the fight. That's what happens.
Yeah.
And then we'll move on to Shakur Stevenson after that. So there's a bit of a weird thing going on promotionally and what have you. But Feb 27th. Frank's running the show. Carl Frampton's getting a shot at history, man. An opportunity to become a three-weight world champion.
Amazing. Be great. Absolutely
fight.
Amazing.
Be a great fight.
But again, it's like 18 months ago he lost to Josh Warrington.
Yeah.
Now Carl Frampton's in a much bigger fight.
Yeah.
He's in the type of fight that Josh Warrington can only dream about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The world's mad, isn't it? The world's fucking mad. But listen, as you say, Herring, just... He was just so meant to be around. He was at the last two Vegas fights that we were around. The best thing about Herring, and we've talked about this, you know, not with microphones, is that he was at both those events seemingly on as Todd.
Yeah.
He's got no entourage. He was literally just wandering around the media room, taking interviews with anyone. We actually talked to him about the Frampton fight. He was down for it, everything else. And he was just a completely mint guy. I think he's a former US Marine, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
Yeah, former US Marine. And I don't think he's got too much long left on his career as well. So because he spoke previously about the end is not far off. So you could see a double retirement here either way. But what a way for Carl Frampton to sign off his career by adding a world title in another weight division. It'd be absolutely unreal. And
Tough night's work, man.
Listen, mate, they don't come tougher than... Well, they do. SAS are well tougher than the US Marines. But those Marines are pretty tough.
Yeah, they're pretty tough.
They're no Ant Middleton. But they're tough.
There'll be people listening to this going, well, hang on a minute. If you watch his last fight, did he swallow it? Did he get that headbutt and clear off Jermell Herring? Listen, Jermell Herring in 2020 had probably one of the worst years any human being could have, right? I mean, how many times did he battle COVID? How many times did he test positive for COVID? How many camps did he go through, fights fell off? It was just ridiculous. He was probably just exhausted at the end of it. Trust me, fighters like Jermell Herring, fighters like Carl Frampton as well, because... We've seen Carl have substandard performances, haven't we, against lesser opposition. These two dudes need each other to bring out the very best of each other. You're getting a hell of a fight, man. Feb 27th, them two are just going to throw the kitchen sink at each other. It's going to be cracking.
It's the last dance, isn't it? It's the last dance.
For Frampton.
But potentially for Herring, though, as well. As I say, he's made noises in the past, like he's coming to the end of his career. And it's the type of fight that American champions dream of. going to the UK, fighting a former multiple weight world champion. It's the stuff dreams are made of for both of them. So, listen, I just hope that Herring and his team are able to get into the UK nice and early, because I would hate for it to fall off, because it just feels like, once again with Carl, it's kind of like now or never, innit? You know, he'll be fucking absolutely tearing up the bags in Manchester with Jamie Moore, I'm sure. They'll be fired up to bits. I seen the other day he was sparring with Jack Catchell, and Jack Catchell was saying nice things, of course, about him. So it's a fight I'm absolutely looking forward to. It's going to be awesome.
A couple of other little bits of news from the world of boxing. My lookalike, Sergei.
Got himself in. You cheating, dirty bastard.
Got himself in some bother, hasn't he? I mean, we were looking forward to that fight on January the 30th against Bek Melikuziev, a guy that we tipped for big things this year. We actually tipped him to beat Kovalev on that particular
Listen,
night.
If someone matched me with Bek Melikuziev, do you know what I'd do? I'd get popped for steroids so I didn't have to face him, because he's fucking ferocious.
Yeah, that's a good shout. That's a good shout.
That was my birthday as well. Birthday Eve as well. Jan 30, bastard.
Varda Test came back that he's got a bit of gear inside him as Sir Guy. I saw some, what did I say, see the other day? Somebody tweeted something like, oh, now that he's been beaten off Canelo, he's turned to drugs as Sergei Kovalev. Listen, how old's Kovalev?
37.
37 years of age, right? Sensational career. Won the lot. Done the business. Are you telling me that the first time that at 37 years of age, that the first time that someone gets popped is the first time that they've ever done something a little bit unsqueaky?
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave that with you. You can take that with whatever grains of salt that you want to take it with.
Yeah. Listen, people who listen to the show.
It's very unfortunate if it's the first time you've ever done it and you get caught the first time you ever
do it. People who listen to us know that, you know, okay, we do flip-flop a bit with drug cheats, because we're a lot stronger with the ones in boxing than we are with the ones in MMA, because in MMA there's a, with that being such a young sport, there was a history of it in that sport, and the sport is slowly trying to, you know, sort itself out and is making steps in the right direction. But that's not to say we approve of any fighter at all taking drugs. But to pop at 37 is kind of alarming. Like, listen, I went and seen what Kathy Duva had to say about him as a long-term manager, and she said, listen, we're waiting for the B sample to come back. We maintain he never ingested anything.
Intentionally.
And she also flagged up the fact that it was Sergei Kovalev's insistence that Varda cover this fight. Varda and the voluntary anti-doping. It was Kovalev, that team, that went, we want Varda testing for this fight. Now, listen, that doesn't mean he's innocent.
No.
Of course it doesn't. But, you know, man. Listen, sometimes if you face Canelo and you go, that motherfucking kid ain't human. That can't be natural. I've never faced anyone that strong before, and he was a fucking middleweight a blink ago. And now he's tearing me apart at light heavyweight. Someone ain't playing the game straight, so why the fuck am I? I'm 37.
Yeah.
Why not?
Well,
so
fight's off anyway. Also, I saw the Rakimov and Jojo Diaz, that fight's fallen off as well, which is on the same day. I think it's because Rakimov tested positive for COVID. Hopefully that'll get rebooked. What do you make of Manny Pacquiao talking about Conor, seeing as that we're covering a Conor fight week this week? It's no longer Conor McGregor throwing the narratives of going over to the world of boxing. Boxers are now throwing the narrative of bringing Conor McGregor over to the world of boxing.
Cheddar ching.
Yeah.
Listen, we expected it. We kind of knew this was coming. Once Manny left his dealings with Top Rank, then moved to PBC, then left, you know, let his deal with PBC run out and become a free agent, and then suddenly he signs with Paradigm Management, which is Conor McGregor's got shares in that company. Conor McGregor's been represented by Paradigm throughout his UFC tenure, and now, you know, Paradigm have got, as far as I know, they've only got MMA fighters. They weren't any boxers, or no prominent boxers anyway. So to suddenly sign Manny Pacquiao, you know, probably the most famous boxer on the planet, you know.
Active right now.
Yeah. Active. For them to suddenly sign him means one thing only. They've had a conversation and gone, listen, Manny, you sign with us for one fight. We'll represent you. We'll do the Conor fight and we'll fucking cut that big pie right in half. Then there's no one. There ain't no one from PBC or Frank or anywhere else or Top Rank. No other motherfucker gets fingers in those pies. We just go, boom, 50-50 right down the middle. And we we run away with the riches.
Jeez.
And I think that's the only reason he signed with Paradigm. So I knew this was coming. From a frustrating point of view, you know, at the end of the day.
Here's a question for you on it, right?
Go on.
Manny Pacquiao is currently the WBA
yeah.
welterweight world champion.
Uh-huh.
Will the WBA sanction a world title fight for Conor McGregor?
Of course they will. Because they're all the same, these money-grabbing bastards. Talking about the WBA, who've got WBA super world title, the WBA world title, the WBA intercontinental title, the WBA international title, right, the WBA fucking...
Here's another question, can Conor McGregor make £147?
I don't think it really matters. Doesn't really matter to Conor, doesn't really matter to fucking Manny Pacquiao. This is the type of fight that'll generate the kind of money where the belts, they don't give a fuck about the belts. In a lot of ways, I support that, you know, this whole year's all about us, spin the belts. I'd be happy if all the belts got dropped. I'm just more concerned about if Manny Pacquiao's got anything left in him, I want to see Manny Pacquiao. Because it looks like Crawford and Spence's just the impossible dream. But Pacquiao against Spence or Pacquiao against Crawford, for me, feels like it could be done.
Yeah.
Because Manny's effectively a free agent. He's no longer tied to PBC. He's no longer tied to Top Rank. But he's had previous dealings with both.
Yeah.
So if he was genuinely just working with his own Paradigm management and they were genuinely trying to make boxing matches that matter, he's perfectly placed to go, how much to fight Spence? How much to fight Crawford?
Yeah.
Whoever puts the biggest slice of pie on the table, I'm in. And Manny Pacquiao cashes out with the biggest fight and gets the fund as presidential election. However, he makes fucking five times the money fighting Conor McGregor in a fight that, in terms of his legacy, people will go, oh, Manny's record was such and such. And when, don't forget, he beat Conor McGregor guy as well. Like Mayweather did. It won't matter.
Conor McGregor in boxing fighting Mayweather and Pacquiao. He's only had two fights.
What a record. What? 0 for 2. 0 for 2 against two leg ends. But mate, check that bank balance.
Fuck me.
Check that bank balance, baby. Listen, we'll talk about it in the UFC show. I want Conor McGregor to stay in UFC and I want Manny Pacquiao to do what he's going to do. I also think there's another caveat here as well. And let's address the elephant in the room because it's become a theme of today's show. And that means that if Manny fights Conor, they don't need the belts. They do it in the Middle East for astronomical money. It's pay-per-view all over the globe. It's as much a circus as it is a boxing match. And there's no testing. Which means Manny can continue to be the Benjamin Button of world boxing. And listen, guy ain't ever popped. That doesn't necessarily mean he's ever not.
Can't pop if you're not to being tested, son.
Yeah, exactly.
Eubank Jr. signed with the Sowlands.
Very interesting, that, isn't it?
Yes.
What do you make of it?
Well, obviously, they've been inspired by their dealings with him in the World Boxing Super Series. Obviously, he was beaten by George Groves in the semi-final.
A while ago, that, though.
It is a while ago. He's been over in the States working tirelessly with Roy Jones Jr. I thought that he was getting on quite well with Al Haymon and moving his career along nicely there. He's been making a lot of noise. Wanting particular guys, hasn't he? He's the WBA middleweight interim champion. It's fucking belts everywhere. But that's where Eubank stands at this moment. You would think that the logical move is for him and Murata to fight and get rid of everything there and therefore we'd have one champion. Doesn't look like that's going to happen because, as we've said on a previous podcast, Murata, Triple G, makes more dough. So expect it. That'll come that way sometime soon. So I think... I don't know why the move... The promotional move for Eubank Jr., but he most certainly does need somebody in his corner pushing him and making fights for him because did he fight last year? I can't remember him fighting last year. And for all the talk, right now, I think he's in his prime. He needs to be fighting the top boys. He needs to be fighting Charlo. He needs to be fighting Triple G, all these types of kids.
I honestly think he's only signed with them because they've got something for him.
But who've they got?
Well, I know the Sowlands come out, and the first noises they made were that they're going to do the Triple G fight in London in 2021. So,
sound.
If they can deliver that, sensational. But, you know, they're going to have to put their hands in their pocket to deliver Triple G. And, you know, that would make absolute sense. I just think Eubank.
Do you know what the mad thing is? He had the Triple G fight. He had it. And then it was him that came away from it, and that's why Kell Brook ended up fighting Triple G, if you remember.
Yeah, of course.
So it's already slipped through his fingers once.
Yeah.
So he might have to go back a bit cap in hand for a second bite.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit. But then Triple G, you know, he's trying to add to his legacy before his time's done as well. And, you know, maybe fighting someone who has experienced their fighting at up at super middleweight.
Well,
like
the Eubank
Jr.
name carries weight, doesn't it?
Of course.
The Eubank name carries weight.
Eubank has fought at super middleweight as well. So, you know, the only way he's going to sign off in style is if he gets that third fight with Canelo. And maybe fighting Eubank, who is a big middleweight, is the way to get there. Interesting.
Very interesting to see how all that plays out. No shows this weekend, is there, in the world of boxing? I'm not across it, sadly, next to the swimming pool here in Abu Dhabi. I'm not paying full attention, but I don't think there's much boxing to get stuck into. Obviously, boxing returns in the UK, as we said earlier on February the 13th.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah. There was one fight, but I think it's next week. When's the two Calebs going at it?
Plant and Truax.
Yeah, when's that? That's soon, isn't it? Stephen Fulton fights.
Oh! We haven't talked about Stephen Ward and Thor.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking
yeah.
Hell. How mad is that? Jeez. Looked a bit of fun, that, didn't it, eh? He buzzed him early doors, did Steve,
yeah,
didn't he?
He rattled him, didn't he? Yeah.
Caught him on the whiskers, and then we ended up having a little bit of an exhibition and a little bit of a rock and roll. Nice stuff, mate. Nice stuff. He's a good lad, Stephen Ward. I think they're going to try and make Thor versus Eddie Hall now, aren't they?
Yeah, I think that was the whole point, wasn't it? They're doing that freak show fight with Eddie Hall, and they wanted to make sure that Thor could actually take a shot on the whiskers.
Brilliant.
But, yeah, man, it was good fun, wasn't it? Did look weird.
Mate.
It reminded me of when David A fought that fucking big giant.
Yeah, but what was that?
Whatever his name was.
I think Stephen weighed in at something like 215 pounds, something like that. And Thor was like
500 and something.
No. He was about 350 pounds. Fucking massive. An extra 100 and odd pound on the lad. And he still
got cracked.
He still clipped him on whiskers, yeah. Good lad.
Bit of fun.
Bit of bunce in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Perfect, mate. Perfect. Listen, hopefully this time next week we're talking about more fights that are being made. We know that it's a little bit of a hiatus for boxing, hence our boxing show being a little bit slimmer than usual. But fingers crossed, we'll be back talking about some fantastic action soon. So thank you very much for joining us. There's a lot more for us to get stuck into on the UFC show, so make sure you come across and get stuck into that, because the UFC is back, baby. Providing sensational fights and obviously building up towards Conor McGregor taking on Dustin Poirier this weekend. So if you're into it, come and join us over there for episode 462 of the Fight Disciples podcast. This is the first time you've ever come to us. Please subscribe. As the shows keep on rolling in 2021, there'll be more for us to talk about. So you can do that on iTunes. You can do it on our website, fightdisciples.com. And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.